Christian Science textbook is the recording of the divine revelation of the oneness of principle and idea. This is the good news or gospel to be preached in all the world, the oneness of all being. Accepting this revelation as the truth of being brings the scientific statement of being into absolute focus. The personal sense of ego fades into its nothingness, and the ego that is divine begins to supply all intelligence. Let us be willing to give up the ghost here today, the ghostly sense of being person or personal, and let us experience the Holy Ghost as identity itself. Let us live the scientific statement of being and have the transfiguration and walk the earth as some holy thing and experience the Christ identity. Does this book exist as an object in sense or as an idea in soul? Is not the textbook the way the Christ mind is appearing at the moment? The textbook is divine science brought to human comprehension and named Christian Science. When Mary Baker Eddy interpreted the revelation, the science of being, into English words, she named it Christian Science because it was the science of the teachings of the Master Christian, and it is Christian, benevolent. The fact that our leader used English words in order to clothe the divine idea is the reduction she speaks of. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a term comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Since then, her highest creed has been divine science, which reduced to human apprehension she has named Christian Science. Divine science is the science of divinity. It is the correct understanding of divine science that brings forth human words which appear in our textbook. As students of Christian Science, we translate these words back into divine revelation because as metaphysicians, we exchange the objects of sense for the ideas of soul. We appear to call this study, but let us not be fooled. This is a human metaphysical process that one has to go through before fully understanding the Christ science operating from the standpoint of the scientific statement of being. Man is the science of being in identification. Man is actually now the Son of God or mind's knowing. We may not study to become the Son, but rather to acknowledge from the standpoint of all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. That we are not human beings, personal concepts. In other words, there is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. It is giving up the spectral at all points which permits the full appearing of the Son. This must not be misinterpreted that we do not need to study the textbook. But from the correct metaphysical viewpoint, it will appear that we love the book more and more. If your study is difficult, it must be because you are trying to understand Christian Science from the standpoint of personal sense, trying to use it to change something or to bring something into being which does not exist. If we run into the suggestion that study is difficult, let us go into the closet and shut the door on the satanic suggestion that we are persons trying to understand our divinity. The more we know that we do not go anywhere to find our sonship, makes the books more available, makes them better understood. This is the same way we deny that man is a sinner, but we see man as the spotlessness of being itself. This appears to make the sinning concept less sinful until the concept disappears for lack of identification. We study spontaneously. Man is the spontaneity of being. Every chapter amplifies the scientific statement of being that all, absolutely all, without a single exception, is God, mind, saying, I am all. And dwelling in light, I see only the brightness of my own glory. A knowledge of aught beside myself is impossible. Unity of good. The scientific statement of being is the vantage point from which we live and look out on the universe. This statement of indivisible being permits us to see the nothingness of the mortal illusion of division and finiteness. It gives us the simplicity of being because the oneness and allness of the divine mind is seen to be the present mind of all. If this were not true, Jesus could not have taught the peasant folk and fishermen on the hillsides. Nor could Mary Baker Glover have taught those shoe workers fresh from their benches. Both Jesus and Mrs. Glover kept the singleness of I, and it is now our work to see the simplicity of the Christ. It is the scientific statement of being that shows us this way. This scientific statement is the deep, absolute fact. No one says the statement is too absolute, and yet we can find nothing more absolute than this statement of reality. A friend once said, "To practice Christian Science, to live our science, we must let the divine mind, the only mind there is, be our present mind. We must know out from the immutable facts of principle. This is simply being what we are, being man. That is, mind's self-expressing idea, the functioning of mind itself." This unbroken scientific fact, maintained as conscious identity, erases the mortal error, the illusion, and it disappears because it cannot maintain itself in the face of reality. Man is mind's wondrous, glorious enjoyment of its own immortal wisdom and self-containment. The acceptance of the scientific statement of being as present identification gives one the glorious feeling and the complete release from the need of thinking. To see that the infinitude of mind, the one self-conscious being, is the mind of all, is to immediately preclude the possibility of any lesser mind, called mortal, carnal, or human mind. Mortal mind is seen not to be an entity or to have identity. It is seen to be the name for that which occupies no space, has no substance, no intelligence, and certainly no truth. Hence, it must be a lie or mortal error. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Mortal error and malpractice are one. Now the music comes to a gentle, slow movement. Spirit is the real and eternal. Spirit is tangible, solid. Spirit is substantially real and eternal, always the same, not subject to change or time lapse in which to become eternal, not an eternal continuation of time, but the eternal noon, the evergreen of soul. The gentleness of it all, now, eternal now, never a moment to elapse in order to experience now. There is not a split second in which there can be a lapse from or return to the eternal now. Then quietly we hear, matter is unreal and temporal. It needs no emphasis. There is no contention. It is truth uttering its own verities. Dwelling in light, I can see only the brightness of my own glory. It is soul feeling its own grand symphony, and what soul feels in all its grandeur is the beloved sun. Now the sound begins to increase, and with lawful certainty, with lawful assurance and conviction, we hear, therefore, but therefore coming from the Christ needs no clashing cymbals. That therefore is not arguing with anything, nor contending with what is called another. Rather, it is stately science pausing not, but moving before us a pillar of cloud by day and of fire by night, leading to divine heights, and from the divine heights of revelation, from the Mount of Transfiguration, comes the sweet sound of the Christ. Man is not material, personal, finite, limited, frustrated, decrepit, but from the celestial heights, the sweetest music ever heard. He is spiritual. The music fades away. All the instruments which brought forth the symphony are quiet. The scientific statement of being is the identification of all. No argument, no contention, no Michael, only the Gabriel of Father's presence left to impart the presence of love that never loses sight of its own loveliness. Then the voice from harmony cries, "Go and take the scientific statement of being. Take it and eat it, and it shall make thy belly bitter." The first sentence, which says there is no identity or belief of being personal, but eat the statement, and it shall be sweet as honey in thy mouth, when it is seen there is nothing personal, only divine, infinite mind to experience its allness. This appreciation has eaten the Christian science of being. Therefore it is now conscious identity as found in science, and nothing is left to have to digest or to have bitter feelings. Nothing is left out, but all is included. And this law of inclusiveness includes all from a blade of grass to a star as distinct and eternal. And we find all is infinite mind and its infinite man, its universal man, its indivisible man or individuality. And he heard the Father say, "Son, all that I have is thine." And as Ezra sang, all the people gathered themselves together as one man and sang, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God for ever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee." And now we no longer sing the song, but find identity to be the song. Man is the singing of the song. As Jesus said, "It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Mental malpractice is based upon the assumption that there is life, truth, intelligence, and substance in matter. Roman Catholicism claims to take the textbook and reverse the statements therein, asserting that there is life in matter. In fact, their religious beliefs are predicated upon the assumption of life in matter. If there is no life in matter, then what happens to the belief of indwelling soul that must be prayed out of hell? This is one of the greatest advertising gimmicks in the world. It brings in more revenue than all the quack medicine, patent medicine, and the rest of that ilk. Christian science is seen to be Romanism's greatest foe because Christian science lays the axe at the root of their tree. Where and how can Romanism stand without the fear of its followers over the belief in death and the belief in heaven and hell as places to go? The scientific statement of being wipes out the whole mass of error, and the earth should open up and swallow the whole mass. Students of Christian science should never be afraid of the supposed power of Roman Catholicism. But because of the teaching of the scientific statement of being, we have divine authority. If we are acting from the standpoint of person with a knowledge of Christian science, then we are on the level of the belief. By accepting the infinitude of mind as one's present mind, one annuls any claim of aggressive mental suggestion, and this gives the student the dominion promised in the Bible, because the student is not person,
but is the activity
of the Christ mind itself. Malpractice is always based on the denial of the scientific statement of being. It is a claim of reversion, perversion. Understanding the scientific statement of being and living this Christ understanding is a law to the malpractice produced by the denial of the scientific statement of being. Continuing with the music of the spheres, Mrs. Eddy says, God is mind, and God is infinite, hence all is mind. On this statement rests the science of being. And the marginal note is scientific ultimatum. Then if we are to have any restfulness, it must be upon this scientific ultimatum. Every Christian Science treatment should be scientific in its ultimatum. All is mind, and this mind is infinite, precluding the possibility of finiteness. With this scientific statement of being, we have a spiritual ultimatum to give to the world. One of the weaknesses we sometimes allow is to permit this sense of false appeasement to come in. Mrs. Eddy says that Christian Science is revolutionary. In miscellaneous writings, she tells us, Science is absolute and final. It is revolutionary in its very nature, for it upsets all that is not upright. We have great respect for our president and statesmen when they stand up to the ultimatums of dictators, and we must support this righteous government with the spiritual ultimatum that there is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. Let the notes all blend in one. All is infinite mind, etc. In this there is no possibility of false appeasement. It is radical by its very nature. If our conception of Christian Science is that it is to make the human situation more pleasant and more comfortable, is this not a form of appeasement? The radicalness demanded by this revelation is that there is no substance in objectivity, no identity in objectivity. The understanding of the spiritual ultimatum will have the appearance conform more nearly to the knowing. But let us not be fooled. It is not the betterment of the concept. It is the fuller appearing of the scientific statement of being. If we as students of this revelation understand that it is the truth of being now, we will never be tempted to change the seeming into the being. When Mrs. Eddy gave her scientific ultimatum to the world, the denial of matter as substance, she threw the gauntlet down to every science so-called and dared them to pick it up and prove her discovery false. When our leader threw down this glove, this spiritual scientific ultimatum, she said to theology, "Your basis is as wrong as Ptolemy. There is no personal soul. All soul is divine, and man is soul's own self-identification. There is no fallen man." The glove was thrown to chemistry and physics, and she said, "There is no substance matter. Atomic power is mind. Man is not chemical. Man is not statistical. Man is the harmony, the music of the spheres." To astronomy, she said, man includes his universe and looks out from the stars. To medicine, there is no matter pill, no matter surgery. It is all mind and mind's one and divine manifestation. To psycho this and psycho that, she said, brain is not mind. Mind is divine, incorporeal, and man as divine idea functions as mind itself. This glove, this scientific ultimatum, all is mind, and mind is infinite, is not the lavender kid zeal, which our leader decries, but the gauntlet is the gauntlet of David, the sling and stone of the fearless man facing the Goliath, putting off the armor of the world because he had not proved it. David knew the power of truth. Let us read from miscellaneous writings. What will you do about it? Will you be equally in earnest for the truth? Will you doff your lavender kid zeal and become real and consecrated warriors? Will you give yourself wholly and irrevocably to the great work of establishing the truth, the gospel, and the science which are necessary to the salvation of the world from error, sin, disease, death? Answer at once, and practically, and answer aright. Yes, we answer aright, and rest on the scientific ultimatum of the scientific statement of being. This restfulness knows no false appeasement. Appeasement, to make still as to appease the tumult of the ocean. Christian science enters into no false peace where there is no peace. Christian science is revolutionary and upsets all that is not upright. Upsets entrenched tradition. Upsets the Puritanism that would hold the movement as a moral issue. Science produces morality, but human morality cannot produce science. The scientific statement of being is the glove thrown down with the ultimatum, God is all, there is no evil. God is spirit, there is no matter. God is love, there is no fear and nothing to fear. Let us see today that man is God's glorious ultimatum. Be ye perfect, because I am perfect. What a marvelous ultimatum. Let there be light, and there is light. Let there be man, and there is man. Man, the effect of infinite minds knowing. The scientific statement of being shows us that our world, church, home, employment, etc. are all transpiring as consciousness. This must be so because all is infinite mind, infinitely manifesting itself as all. Nothing is being experienced objectively. As we see, there is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter, which means objectively that we can see that what we seem to be experiencing negatively is not outside, but is actually aggressive mental suggestion, claiming to be our mind and claiming to be our own experience. Malpractice says the experience is going on out there. Is it? Where does healing take place? Out there? Is the patient out there? Or is it aggressive mental suggestion suggesting that out there is a sick child? But where is the sick child but here as suggestion? To see that it isn't going on at all is the Christ way. It is here only as suggestion and not as condition out there. And this understanding is the law to malpractice, whether asleep or awake. Then is not the remedy at hand, the scientific statement of being? If this statement is understood, it is a law to every situation. We are not dealing with persons. We are either dealing with the one universal consciousness, God-man, principal idea, or we are dealing with the one claim of absence of mind, called mortal mind. When we hear of some catastrophe out there, a major disaster, a world crisis, an impending financial failure in a company, something wrong with the church organization, all appearing beyond our control, do we see the impossibility and leave the basis of belief of life in matter and unite with the one mind in order to bring out God's unerring direction? If we do not do this immediately, we are admitting the possibility of the suggestion as one's own experience. Students who seem to have a health problem or a financial problem or one of human relationship frequently says, "But how could I have such an experience? I never thought of such a thing." No, perhaps they did not think of this specific experience. But did they deny the possibility from the standpoint of the scientific statement of being when they perhaps heard of a similar situation? On TV, from a newspaper, or it might have come to them through gossip. Do you see the impersonal nature of every false suggestion? The first sentence of the scientific statement of being shows us the impersonal nature of existence. It also shows that there is no believer to have personality, because without a believer, a belief is nothing. as long as we permit belief to hang around as person, or part of person, or in person, we cannot handle it. Christian Science is purely metaphysical. The only way suggestion can be handled scientifically is to let the I return to the Father's house, the consciousness of the infinitude of mind. Then the impersonal Christ leaves nothing unlike the risen Christ. This scientific statement of being gives the student the quiet assurance that whatever appears at the door of consciousness, which is erroneous, can be rejected instantly. Don't hold your foot in the door by believing that a person out there is in difficulty or someone out there is calling for help. Shut the door and give Goliath no man to fight with. There is no sick man, no sinner. It is hypnotic suggestion here. In the textbook, Mrs. Eddy says, "If mortals claimed no other mind and accepted no other, sin would be unknown. We can have but one mind if that one is infinite. If we are ill, seem to lack, have fear or lust, is it not because we have accepted a mind apart from God? A belief in two minds? We may not consciously have done this. We may claim our mind to be Christ, but then turn around and have a personal mind through which to experience lust, hate, fear, gossip. If we do not assume the attitude of the one omnipresent, omnipotent mind and see through the belief with accurate scientific knowing, we can never act as the Son of God. The Son of God is the Father mind in operation or expression, God in action. Mortal mind claims to be the mind of mortals. Are we mortals? Did not the scientific statement of being bury the personal sense of man? Science and Health defines burial as corporeality and physical sense put out of sight and hearing. Annihilation. Submergence in spirit. Immortality brought to light. An early lecturer once said, "We are either acknowledging God, mind, in all our ways, or we are consenting to and unconsciously accepting the prevailing belief of the world." Then we say, "O Lord, how long?" The answer comes back, "As long as you deny my omnipresence." To whine and complain if something or somebody were doing something to us, unbidden and unbeknown to us, only adds to the confusion. For after all, we are merely the victims of our own ignorance and limited sense of God. There is a tendency among Christian Scientists to talk and act as if there is another mind, and then to look upon the one mind as a lovely idea to be attained later. Is not this the duality we are warned against? We cannot have two minds, since mind is one and mind is infinite. Then there is no mind to malpractice or to suggest malpractice. Malpractice is belief. If someone is malpracticing on what is called me, they are not malpracticing on what I am, nor what I know myself to be. Therefore, they are malpracticing on their own belief and will suffer accordingly, whether it is done ignorantly or maliciously. We must not ignore malpractice. We must see that there is no personality and no mind to malpractice with or to be malpracticed upon. Malpractice is nothing and nobody, and must be reduced to this status in order for one
to be the law to it
and to be obedient to the teachings of our textbook. We must look through malpractice and see it for what it is not, and not for what it claims to be. Fear is the basic claim to be healed in malpractice. If we are afraid or feel fear, handle malpractice or animal magnetism. Never handle it as your own fear. It is not anyone's fear. It is fear without person or place. There is no mind to fear with, and no mind to fear. Mind is divine love, and in this mind all being is found. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Handle fear in every case, because fear is giving reality to evil or to the claim of suggestion. Fearlessness looks the claim in the face and sees its nothingness, even when it claims to be in the body or on the body. It is malpractice, not condition. Infinity is, and man is what infinity is being. The scientific statement of being wipes out any suggestion that Christian science is mental science. It leaves only the science of Christ. Christian science is not mental. It is spiritually mental or divinely mental, but it is never merely mental. There is a great gulf between Christian science and all else. Other systems take the human into consideration. Christian science knows the human is not a factor. One of the most deadening things happening within our movement today is that many students are mental scientists and not wholly Christian scientists. The mental scientist is always watching his thoughts. The Christian scientist is always knowing that there is one mind present to express itself. This relieves us from the heavy burden of thinking correctly or correcting our thought. Man has no mind but God. Man's mind is divine now. Man is the functioning presence of the Christ mind. Man cannot think. Man is reflection. Reflection does nothing of itself. Reflection has no life, intelligence, substance, or truth of its own. Reflection is God being. God's reflection of himself is termed man. When mind looks into the mirror of divine science, what does mind see? Why, his own emanation, his own infinitude of being. And this emanation, this conscious identity, is termed man. Man is not an object separate from divine mind. Rather is man the directness of mind's expression. Mind knows, and knows that it knows. Man is the reflection of this knowing, flowing, knowing, and never dammed up and cold personality. Every association is based on the textbook. Each association is to lift us out of the belief of being persons, even temporarily, and permits us to experience the ascension, where the eternal Christ is being lived as present identity. Each association is a clearer, more definite sense that we are dealing with divine science. In studying the concordances, we find some imperative demands made by our leader under the heading Divine Science, such as God and man in divine science, or the logic of truth, are coexistent and eternal, and the nature of God must be seen in man, who is his eternal image and likeness. Message for 1901. In divine science, God is recognized as the only power, presence, and glory. From No and Yes. This comforter I understand to be divine science. Science and Health. Study the textbook definitively, practically. Read the textbook as your own autobiography. What is true of divine mind is true of the divine idea of man. There are not two of us. The scientific statement of being does not permit us to live as fallen children of God, Spirit. Man does not exist as physique, but as divine idea. Therefore, man has never lived as a mortal, because man, as divine idea, is the functioning presence of the mind that is divine, the one universal ego forever self-identifying. Man exists in the now of radiant reality. Man has not one quality underived from deity. So man is the spotless purity of the divine mind in being. In the textbook we find two cardinal points which were the foundation of Jesus' words. Jesus best understood the nothingness of material life and intelligence and the mighty actuality of all-inclusive God, good. These were the two cardinal points of mind healing or Christian science, which armed him with love. These two cardinal points elucidate the scientific statement of being. The nothingness of material life and intelligence, and the mighty actuality of all-inclusive God, good. From the standpoint of these two cardinal points, and from the scientific statement of being, life and intelligence are purely spiritual. This life is infinite consciousness or divine manifestation, and knows only its own infinitude, grandeur, harmony, spotless purity, and blissful being. Divine mind is self-sustained, self-expressed, self-existent, and from this allness and oneness there is no possibility of a finite mind to know or to be known. There is no truth in matter. Therefore, there is no truth in what is called a mortal past with its frustrations, limitations, lack of companionship, etc. The only experience man is having now or ever has had is the joy of spiritual dominion. Because there is no truth in matter, we must refuse to permit thought to ruminate in past history. To accept the mighty actuality of divine mind is to see that the unpleasant mortal experiences never went on. We must be willing to let go of the pride or condemnation of personal sense. Let us be done with injustices, hurt feelings, mistakes, and experience the mighty actuality of all-inclusive God, good. To really understand the scientific statement of being would be to prove that error, mortal mind or matter, has no intelligence with which to deceive us, and we can see, hear, and know that it has no intelligence, no presence, no mind with which to act, speak, see, or know. Error claiming to be active is called animal magnetism. See that it cannot influence us, govern us, because we acknowledge no us, but principle and idea, the divine us. And this Christ knowing wipes out the lie appearing as many. We cannot begin our work from the basis that we are mortals now, the realization that life, truth, and love are ever present and ever operative, acts as a law of completeness, satisfaction, joy, and abundance to every phase of experience. Mrs. Eddy says it this way: the substance, life, intelligence, truth, and love which constitute deity are reflected by his creation, and when we subordinate the false testimony of the corporeal senses to the facts of science, we shall see this true likeness and reflection everywhere, from science and health. We must always have the same starting point. God, Spirit, is all in all. Never start out with a patient, another, or yourself. In the degree that we claim and affirm the truth of the scientific statement of being, that man does not exist as personality, but exists wholly and completely as divine idea, the functioning presence of the mind, which is infinite, we assimilate more and more the divine characteristics, and they appear more as our experience here and now. Again, in the textbook, our leader says, "The relations of God and man, divine principle and idea, are indestructible in science, and science knows no lapse from nor return to harmony, but holds the divine order or spiritual law in which God and all that he creates are perfect and eternal, to have remained unchanged in its eternal history." Christian Science teaches the forever oneness of principle and idea. Infinite mind and its infinite manifestation are not two, but one. Man is God being. Never forget this for a moment. The mind that is divine is the mind that is man. Divine reflection. No matter what the difficulty, no matter how long it has claimed to be us or a part of us, it has never touched, marred, or scarred our identity. It is our work today to demonstrate that personality, the three-dimensional sense of self, has never left an impression on individuality. Man is divine expression and cannot be impressed. A most aggressive suggestion is that we were once healthy, active, young, satisfied, but now it is not so, or made evident. Handle this here and now. These suggestions have never been a part of experience. Man has never been anywhere but in the mind that is divine, hid with Christ forever in the Father's holy plan. In Science and Health we read, matter is an error of statement. Then in this scientific statement of being, we have the true statement. There is no ego in matter, because matter is mortal error, and matter is error of statement. Again, in the writings, we find, matter is a misstatement of mind. Then one cannot look to a misstatement or mortal error for the ego. The ego must be found in the infinitude of mind, and as the infinitude of mind itself, or mind, scientifically stating itself. Matter is not something to be discarded, changed, or moved. Matter is misstatement, or a false sense being entertained. Again from miscellaneous writings we read, let us open our affections to the principle that moves all in harmony, from the falling of a sparrow to the rolling of a world. And Christ Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father?